Welcome to the fourth episode of the Patient Services Podcast at Anthony Nolan. My name is Billy and I'm the Patient Communication and Insight Coordinator. Throughout this series of podcasts, we hope to bring you insight and support into the experience of having a bone marrow or stem cell transplant. We'll be looking at what life before, during and after transplant can be like, talking to health professionals for tips and advice, and patients who've been there themselves will be sharing their stories and personal experiences with you. We hope you find them helpful and informative. Today, I'm joined by Lottie Weston, Teenage Cancer Trust lead nurse working with teenagers and young adults at the Royal Marsden NHS Foundation Trust. Having a stem cell transplant at any time in your life is challenging, but for teens and young adults in need of this treatment, it comes during a transition between childhood and the independence that adult life brings. It might interfere with school, college and university, or with a first job and leaving home. Today, Lottie will be talking to us about her experiences of supporting this specific patient group and giving us her expert insight into how young people are affected by cancer and stem cell transplants. Hello, Lottie. Thank you for speaking with me today. I really appreciate you giving up your time.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So you've worked with both adults and teenagers and young adults. Do you think there's a difference between these two groups in how they cope with stem cell transplants?
I think a transplant is a really challenging treatment period to face regardless of age. But for young people, it can be a really challenging time of their life when they are in the process of forming friendships, developing their own identity. They may be going through periods of change in work or looking for employment or a university course. So having a period of treatment where they're taken away from their peers and spend time in hospital can be quite isolating for them, and it can feel quite challenging to not be in that peer support group with their friends and family.
Yeah, I can imagine it must be really hard, especially that, as you say, the time away from home and from their social life, which is quite key.
Yeah, definitely. It does really make a difference having age-appropriate support on a specialist unit at this kind of time, which can give them different ways to access the support and friends and things they need.
When in the early phases of recovery, what do you think the priorities are for teenagers and young adult patients?
I think as with any patients having gone through a period of treatment, it really varies from person to person. For teenage and young adults, some of them might want to get straight back into what their friends are doing and re-engaging with their peers, particularly if they've spent long periods of time in isolation. But other people might want to spend time at home with their family and engage more slowly in things with their friends. Early on in their recovery, they might feel quite fatigued and physically not up to doing everything at the same speed that they were before. And for some people, that this can be quite challenging for themselves and also to have to explain to people all the time.
Yeah, and to have to sort of recognise that they have to slow down when they, I'm imagining that they must be really desperate to get back to their life. And so how does this change the further out of transplant they go? For example, do you find that they think about missing education or that they might have financial concerns or be worried about a job or employment?
Yeah, this is definitely something that we, in order to help their recovery, that we try to address as early as possible. So we do bring up issues like education, financial support and employment from the beginning of treatment, to make sure they're getting enough support and signposting them to different services which might support them to help get what they need. Some young people certainly have really clear focus on getting straight back into their education and employment, or it might be starting university. We've had some young people complete exams and dissertation whilst having been in for a transplant, which is really admirable. It's really impressive how some of them keep that kind of focus in it.
Yeah.
Some of them find it really helpful having that support to be able to still do their studies while they're in with us.
Do you think it's like good practice to try and to encourage people to keep their schools or universities informed so that they can have a good dialogue? I would imagine that's really important.
Yeah, we would always help them have that dialogue going on with their employer or their schools or university. Absolutely.
Do you think teenagers and young adult patients have specific psychological needs that are different to adults? And do they need extra support?
I think the amount of support that any person facing cancer needs really varies from person to person. And it's really important for it to be individualised and tailored to the person. for teenage and young adult cancer care, it's important that they are supported by people who have specialist training in working with that age group, so that they know that the people they're interacting with care about their needs and understand them. They might need extra support looking at things like coping mechanisms, for example, associated with being in hospital for long periods or being isolated during their transplant and separated from their family and friends. It can be quite challenging or frustrating for young people to cope with being in isolation for a long period of time.
Do you encourage patients to let you know if they need psychological support once they begin their recovery at home as well?
Absolutely. Well, often some of these issues don't come up at the time, but it's later on actually that things catch up with them and that they start to think about things. And we would encourage them really at any point to try and access the support that they need. So absolutely, be it coming back to the hospital, or actually it may be more appropriate to have something a bit closer to home at that point.
Yeah.
But definitely having people to talk to so they know they can get support at any point is really important.
Do you feel friendships play a bigger role in terms of support for this specific patient group?
Yeah, definitely. So at the age of a lot of our patients, they're at the phase of transitioning between childhood and adulthood. And it's a time when people would usually start to move away from their parents and place greater importance on their friendship groups. It's a really important time of development to define your identity and who you are separate from your family and who you've been in your childhood. And you're often shaping your identity based on who's around you at that time.
Mm.
So it can be really challenging to be isolated from that support network you've got. I think it can be quite challenging as well with social media. It's good for them to be able to be connected, but equally it can be hard seeing what's going on outside the hospital.
Yeah, because it kind of offers a window on the world that you're not really getting to take part in.
Absolutely.
At the time.
Absolutely. And that's the reason why we set up the units to enable people to have their friends and family support them and come and visit them as much as possible. And we really encourage that and make space for that to happen.
Do your patients talk to you about relationships and sexual concerns?
Yes, they do. As a team, we would be very open to talking about relationships and sexual concerns. And it's definitely something we would bring up as various different members of the team. It might be something that young people want to talk about a lot or maybe not, but it's about letting them know that actually no topic's off limits and they can talk to us about anything at any point. And as you said earlier, like the psychological support, it might not be something they think about at the time, but it's letting them know that if these issues come up later, they've got a point of contact, they can seek help, and then they can have more support at that point as they need it.
Do you find the varying levels of maturity are a factor in how teenagers and young adult patients cope, and perhaps how involved their parents might be?
I think maturity and coping strategies and support really varies person to person for any patient facing cancer. But in general, people do tend to cope better if they've got a good support network in place and if they've got some good coping strategies to know how to deal with difficult situations. I think that's true regardless of age. Some teenager, young adult patients might find it reassuring to have a parent or loved one stay with them. And that's definitely something we facilitate on the units. Equally, there might be times when young people want to spend time alone or talk to their team without someone with them. And that's also something we support and facilitate happening for them.
And what is the environment like in the teenagers and young adult unit?
It's not like a usual hospital ward. It's very relaxed. We have chill out zones where the young people can play pool. We've got Xboxes. They can sit and watch movies on the big screens. There's plenty of space for friends and family to visit in these social areas as well. We have art, computers, music areas and a large jukebox so they can play music.
Great.
And we encourage them to participate in activities, either with other patients or with their friends. And really, it's all designed towards making the environment seem as normal as possible for them, so normalising the experience and also giving them control of their daily routine. So we try as much as possible to let them decide when they want to wake up, decide when they want to eat, etc. And the young people were involved in the design of the unit, so everything from choosing the colours of the walls in the unit. And when we're looking at services now and how we make changes, we try to involve young people in this.
So they can really be part of the process.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. All parts of the process,
yeah.
Really.
And it's really interesting what you mentioned about giving them back some aspects of control, which must be really empowering for them, considering there's so much about transplant and treatment that's completely out of their control.
Yeah, it's really difficult for anyone being put in a situation where everything's completely out of your control. So it's important to give them that control back as much as possible and in as many ways as possible too.
Yeah. Have you found that you've had to adapt your nursing style to a change of language or a more flexible approach dealing with young people and teenagers?
Yeah, as nurses, you'd like to think that you approach every patient as an individual and tailor your approach to them specifically. But with young people, it's really important to be flexible. As we were saying, just things down to the schedule and how you're going to plan your day as a nurse, and working really with the young people to make sure they've got control as much as possible. The nurses that work on the unit have chosen to work with teenage and young adults, so they're really passionate about this age group, and respect them and the choices that they make. There can also be lots of questions with our teenage and young adult patients. Sometimes that's about reiterating the information to make sure that we've understood it properly together. Sometimes it's helping them have control of the process, and sometimes it can be helping to relieve some anxiety by talking things through again. So it's really important that the nursing style reflects this and that we give them plenty of time to go through things again as they need it and make sure we've really addressed all the underlying fears and anxieties under those questions.
And my final question today is there any advice that you would give a teenager or young adult patient who is planning to have a transplant in terms of preparation and expectations of the recovery after transplant?
So for any new phase of treatment, it's really important to feel like you understand and you're in control and you know what's going to happen. So make sure you know who your team are and that you've asked the questions that you want to before, but also know that you can go back to them and ask questions at any point. Everybody's experience is different and your team are there to support you. So the most important thing is to be open and honest throughout the process and communicate with them as much as possible. Tell them what's going on. Tell them what you're feeling. Tell them if you have any concerns. There's lots of support out there and there are lots of people that want to help support you through the process.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for speaking with Anthony Nolan today. It's been really interesting to hear more about the work you do and how you support young people.
Thank you.
Our patient services team at Anthony Nolan, with the help of young adults and teenagers, have recently published a young person's guide to the stem cell transplant journey. You can download and order copies of this for free on our website, www.anthonynolan.org. We also have a patient blog where transplant recipients are interviewed about their experiences and recovery, offering tips and advice on how they've coped. For personal insight into the transplant experience, visit blog.anthonynolan.org. If you'd like to find out more about the ways Anthony Nolan can support you and your family, please contact the patient services team at patientinfo@anthonynolan.org or call 0303 303 0303 for a chat anytime. Thank you for listening.